more time. Joyful blessings. This is Kaylin Castell. I am the co-founder of the Shamanic Astrology Mystery School and the creator of the Celestial Timings. And this is a look at the astronomy of October 2012. And I decided that it would be really important for me to go back and pick up and really emphasize some of the things that I didn't quite synthesize fully in either the written version or in the weekly audios, although I did go into some greater detail in the audios and synthesize some pieces. One of the things I realized after doing this was that the four royal stars are having major planetary activations this month, and it's worth speaking to that and to giving a better sense of that. So what's happening is there's a Venus Regulus conjunction on the morning of October 3rd. Really, there's going to be several days before and after this exact conjunction that's going to be worth seeing, but something very remarkable on the morning of October 3rd with Venus and Regulus being so close to each other within less than eighth of a degree of each other, that the light of the rays of Venus and the light of the rays of Regulus will touch each other. Almost like an occultation. An occultation is when a planet or when a planet actually covers or covers a star. And in fact, the Venus transit over the face of the sun was similar to an occultation, but Venus isn't big enough to cover the sun. So the last time actually Venus was close enough to occult Regulus was in 1959. It's not quite close enough for that this time, but will be very worth seeing the connection between Venus and Regulus. So there's several things just to kind of put into perspective. Regulus is one of the four royal stars, lies closest to the ecliptic. It is often occulted by the moon. There's a series of occultations that can happen, not in that time now. That won't be happening for a while yet. And as the heart of the lion, and representing the Sphinx, the lion representing the Sphinx on the earth, that guards the Hall of Records, the emerald tablets of Thoth or of Hermes Trismegistus, the tablets, the Hall of Records, which is also symbolized by our DNA as our own personal Hall of Records that we carry within us. And so Venus with Regulus is bringing attention to the Hall of Records that we have within us, the Hall of Records on the earth, and also the Akashic Records that are the cosmic records that are kept. Or somehow, you know, there's a record of everything that has ever happened and that is happening and will ever happen, connected to that Akashic record and the Hall of Records. That's also encoded into our DNA. So getting up in the early morning on October 3rd to see Venus with Venus touching, the rays of Venus touching the rays of Regulus will be the best way to connect in with this and to receive the light code transmission that is coming. The other thing that I have mentioned is that Regulus is one of the Bohemian stars, and the alchemists would considered 15, there was 15 stars that when a planet was within 6 degrees of that star, that was, they've considered that star's power to be magnified. So with Venus being within an eighth of a degree of Regulus on the morning of October 3rd, that star's power is being hugely magnified. And it's also representing a portal of energy between Venus, Regulus, Venus, and the Earth, the way that the alignment is happening. So, again, a rare event that will be visible with the naked eye, worth getting up to see around 5 a.m., 5:30, you know, as long as you're up before the sky brightens too much, it'll be worth actually getting a chance to see, and it will be dazzling. If you don't get to see it, you can still tune into it. You can still just attune your attention to that, and there will be a star map of Venus with Regulus on the morning of October 3rd that I will include with the celestial timing. So something that you'll be able to connect into through the star map and being able to see it from that. If you don't have a chance to see it, actually visually see it, then you can use the star map as a way to tune into it. Okay, so that's the royal star Regulus. And I did go into quite a bit of detail in the week one of the Sphinx point and the zero Virgo now overlaying the heart of the lion and the importance of all of that. So you'll definitely want to listen to the October 1st, the first week of October audio as I synthesize more of that aspect as well. And there's quite a bit in the written version in addition to that. So the other thing is in, and something that is visible in the morning sky above Venus and Regulus is Jupiter in the exact location where Venus was when the Venus transit took place in June, on June 5th of 2012. It wasn't visible. Those stars weren't visible because the sun was there, but that seeding, that solar feminine seeding that took place on June 5th, is where Jupiter is currently hanging out and will be stationing retrograde on October 4th. Pretty remarkable. So Jupiter is rising around 9:45 p.m. as this month begins. It'll be rising a couple hours earlier, 7:45 p.m. by the time the month ends in the evening sky. So it's also going to be something that will be seen in the evening sky. But I just want to make sure that if you're looking at looking east on the morning of October 3rd to see Venus and Regulus, you can just look a little higher and you'll see Jupiter between the horns of the bull. You'll also be able to begin seeing that in the evening sky now. And I spoke about how remarkable it is that Jupiter is now amplifying, magnifying, expanding the solar feminine seeding that took place back in June. And it'll be 243 years before Venus will transit the face of the sun in that area of the sky again, because it's 243 years between Venus transits in a specific area of the sky. So it's going to be quite some time before that happens again. Remarkably, this huge sort of divine cosmic timing that is just in a way, you know, awe-inspiring, mind-blowing, etc., that Jupiter happens to be stationing retrograde in the exact spot, meaning Jupiter hangs there for several weeks, just hanging out in this part of the sky. It's so remarkable. And is within 6 degrees of Aldebaran, the royal star connected to Archangel Michael, the Eye of the Bull, and the Watcher of the East. Regulus is the Watcher of the North, connected to Archangel Raphael and the Hall of Records, as I already mentioned. So, you know, the perception, the also Archangel Michael having to do with protection and clearing away the obstacles that can hold us back, and creating that sense of protection. So that particular royal star, and also Bohemian star, meaning Jupiter hanging out with Regulus for weeks, months actually, because of the retrograde. It's within 6 degrees of the star for a long, long time. And we'll be passing by Aldebaran two more times, once while retrograde and at once after it goes direct. So something definitely to keep our eye on, to keep our attention on, to tune into and be witness to the remarkable expansion of Jupiter, could only be here about every 12 years. And so when the next Venus transit happens in 243 years, Jupiter may or may not, probably will not, be in this particular part of the sky in such a precise configuration to expand the seed point. So this is just part of the genuine, off-the-charts, amazing, magical things that have been happening this year, 2012. Opposite Aldebaran is the fixed star Antares. They are in almost exact opposition. When Aldebaran rises, Antares is setting. So in the evening sky, we can see Mars. It's setting a couple hours after the sun. It is entering the head of the scorpion as the month begins. We'll be with a fixed star called Dashuba, the eye of the scorpion. I talked a lot about that in the audio, weekly audios on Mars. And then Mars will be moving towards Antares, getting to be very close to Antares around the 18th of October when the moon is also with Mars in Antares. pretty remarkable activation of that royal star, Watcher of the West, connected to Archangel Uriel and the Keys of Enoch. And I mentioned quite a bit about that in the written version and also the audio version of the weekly timing. So definitely check out, I think it's the second week? Yeah, it would be the second week of October. Maybe it's the third week of October audios. But anyway, you can check that out. So, again, the magnification, amplification of this royal star, which is just truly remarkable because Mars can only be in this area of the sky every 2 years. Venus will, Venus will pass by Regulus once each year, but it's not always as close as it is this time. Mars passes Antares once every 2 years. Jupiter passes Aldebaran once every 12 years. And that brings us to the last royal star called Fomalhaut, F-O-M-A-L-H-A-U-T, Fomalhaut. And that is the royal star that is the watcher of the south, connected to Archangel Gabriel, the messenger, and is located under the water bearer in a constellation called Pisces, Astrinus, which is the southern fish, not connected to the constellation, also known as Pisces, that we call the fish, that's up on the ecliptic. This is actually pretty low below the ecliptic, but it's the brightest star in this area of the sky and why it was considered a royal star. It's located right around 5 degrees Pisces right now, and that is where Chiron is going to be stationing direct in early, around November 14th. So Chiron has been moving back towards the stars within 6 degrees now. It's hanging out pretty close to the star and is going to hang out with the star for several weeks due to the station direct because the planet is not moving very fast within the month before the station direct and within a month after the station direct. So I've done some specific audios on Chiron with Fomalhaut that will definitely be worth listening to. But just briefly, Chiron is the shamanic healer, and Fomalhaut has to do with healing addictions. And I also am sharing with you the two audios that I've done on the doing addiction, which is one of the biggest addictions that we have to deal with in our current culture. So worth reconnecting to that energy as Chiron comes back to this part of the sky to hang out for several weeks. The other thing is that Chiron is a 50-year cycle, also not visible, so we won't see Chiron with Fomalhaut. Fomalhaut is very visible in the evening sky right now, but you can just imagine that Chiron is in that area of the sky because it's not a visible planet. You would need to probably see it through a telescope. Chiron is, not a planet. It's not a planet. It's an asteroid. But it is has a powerful influence, and so it is activating and amplifying this particular royal star. Now, Fomalhaut, I don't think, is one of the Bohemian stars. It's too far off the ecliptic for that to be the case, but it is one of the four royal stars. So all four royal stars of ancient times are being magnified and amplified by planets and or the asteroid Chiron passing by them this month and making, you know, some kind of a spectacular showing in a way that draws our attention to these particular stars, draws our attention to the power and to the potency of these particular royal stars. Definitely worth our time and attention to tune into what's taking place with this. So just a couple of other quick things. Mars will be, as I said, setting a couple hours after sunset. It's getting pretty low on the horizon. Definitely worth seeing Moon and Mars and Antares together on the night of October 18th. Mars is just slightly brighter than Antares. And it will be really fun to see Mars and Antares together. They look very similar to each other right now. Mars is one of what the ancient people would have called the wandering stars. And Antares literally means anti-Aries, Aries being the Greek name for Mars. And they wanted to distinguish the planet from that actual star. So every couple of years, Mars comes by this star, and so they named it, they named Antares the opposite of Mars, because it's a fixed star. The heart of the scorpion does not wander through the sky in the same way that Mars does. Also, definitely worth checking out is the Orionids meteor shower that's going to be peaking on October 20th and 21st. The moon will be setting, late in the night, and so that meteor shower will be worth checking out if you're up late or up early, and checking it out and looking for Orion, which is rising now earlier in the sky. The meteors will be visible before the moon sets, but it'll be much easier to see them after the moon sets at that particular time. Saturn is not visible. It is with the sun. We'll make exact conjunction to the sun on October 25th. So Mercury is not easily visible this month either. It's pretty low on the horizon and probably not going to be seen without like a binoculars or something after sunset. Mercury is in the evening sky and will be getting ready to go retrograde on Election Day, November 6th. So I'll talk a lot more about that in the November celestial timings and audios. The last time that Mercury went retrograde on an election day was in 2000, and that was the election that was so unclear, and basically the Supreme Court declared George Bush to have won. Without actually completing the recount and so on. So a lot of people felt that was just wrong. So it'll be interesting to see what happens on the election day with the Mercury turning retrograde on that particular day. Just something to be paying attention to. So in summary, we have remarkable events taking place this month that are visible, with the four royal stars actually being visible at different times of the day. Regulus in the morning sky, Aldebaran rising late in the evening, earlier and earlier as the month goes on, Mars setting within a couple hours after the sun, and Fomalhaut being visible in the evening sky as well. With all these remarkable planetary activations with the four royal stars, definitely worth tuning into.